Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's a critical season for the Warriors.
It's a really good group. They're unselfish. They like to move the ball, and so it's fun to watch.
With new faces.
The Golden State Warriors select Jonathan Kuminga. The Golden State Warriors select Moses Moody.
Old friends.
A trip by Andre. Loose ball. It's out of bounds. Andre Iguodala with a huge defensive play.
And the reigning NBA scoring champion.
Curry takes another three. It's up and good. He's got 62.
Welcome to Warriors Live on 95.7 The Game. Presented by Xfinity Sports Zone, the ultimate sports hub experience.
Damon Bruce and Ray Ratto here with you, getting you ready for Warriors and 76ers. The Warriors are 13-2 through their first 15 games of the year. The 76ers have already played 18 games. They are 10-8, and a little bit of a mash unit. Who can go on any given night is a question for Doc Rivers. The biggest question for the 76ers still remains what becomes of Ben Simmons, and we'll get into all of that with Nick Friedell at 6 o'clock. In about 4 or 5 minutes, we are going to have Steve Kerr join us once again. Ray and I spoke to him yesterday about all things that have happened this week, Clay returning to practice, so on and so forth, and we eventually get into tonight's game against Philadelphia. The Sixers, Ray, just spoiled Alvin Gentry's debut with the Kings as an interim coach. They did win 102-94. The Kings led by 9 early in the fourth quarter and then got outscored down the stretch 25-8. So Philadelphia comes in here feeling, you know, a little good about themselves after a big come from behind win. And the one thing the Sixers are good at that the Warriors aren't necessarily great at is protecting the basketball and valuing each and every possession. They protect the ball. They average 12.1 turnovers per game. That is tops in the NBA. Unfortunately for the Philadelphia 76ers and their fine play-by-play broadcaster, Kate Scott, the Warriors are basically better than them in every other conceivable, recordable category other than turnovers per game.
Kate gets paid either way. She hasn't turned over a ball yet this year.
She is not.
So
she is not.
Yeah, I think the greater concern for Philadelphia is that without Joel Embiid, they are an ordinary team. And then when you stack Tobias Harris and Seth Curry on top of that, what you're down to is Tyrese Maxey and a whole lot of finger crossing, because that's what they are right now.
It looks like we are on our way to a brother versus brother matchup tonight. Steph Curry versus Seth Curry, because Seth Curry is going to play. Danny Green is going to play, but Tobias Harris is still out. Joel Embiid is still out. They've really watched Maxey lead the way for them lately, and he is going to have a monster night along with Seth Curry, who is having the best year of his career. But again, his brother, who's going to go straight to the Hall of Fame, is also having one of the best years of a Hall of Fame-bound career. So this should be a Warriors win. We will talk about the betting line and all of that at the end of the show today. Right now, got to give you a Steph Curry three-point update brought to you by MasterClass. And this is the easiest one to do because it's not a crooked number. Since the last time we saw Steph, because he did not play in Detroit, he's played one game, and he hit 1-3 against Toronto, giving him 86 made threes on the season. He's now 55 three-point buckets away from tying Ray Allen and 56 away from passing him for the most made threes in NBA history. Other NBA milestones that are going to be coming up soon for Steph, he is 112 points shy of 19,000 for his career, 22 games shy of 800 for his career. So all of that is coming up. And the truth is, by the time he gets there, will Klay Thompson be back on the team is now a legitimate question. And that's where Ray and I started our conversation with Steve Kerr just yesterday, saying, Steve, how great is it to see Klay Thompson back with the team, back scrimmaging, getting ready to play for this upcoming season, ramping it up? Here's Steve Kerr.
Yeah, it's great to have him back in practice. And, you know, he's been around now the last couple of months since the season started and just in a good mood all the time because of his impending return. So the last couple of years, more than anything, we've just felt bad for him. You know, I mean, he's been unable to play, unable to be part of everything that he helped build. And so that's the main takeaway. It's just great to see him happy again.
Can I ask you about specifically what have you had him do in practice when he's scrimmaging? Is he essentially doing everything a basketball player would do in a basketball game?
Yeah, I mean, that's the point of scrimmaging, right? Is you end up doing everything. You defend and you put the ball on the floor and you shoot and you pass and you know, every movement that you make, it's going to happen during a scrimmage. You know, the first couple of months, he's been doing a lot of individual work and he's ramped it up to 2-on-2, 3-on-3. And, you know, that moved to 5-on-5 last week while we were gone. And then we had a scrimmage day yesterday. The players had the day off from practice, but some of the young guys came in and scrimmaged with Klay. And so today was really the first official practice day for him, like, you know, being a part of everything. And we didn't scrimmage in practice. It was more defensive drills and shooting and, you know, 5-on-0 stuff. But it's feeling great just, you know, having him part of it and, you know, incorporating him back into everything that we're trying to do.
In what ways does he sound or speak or behave differently than he did before the two injuries? What are the differences you've noticed in not just the way he practices or does basketball skills, but just how his outlook has changed?
Well, I don't know that his outlook has changed that much. I mean, he always loved the game so much. And he loved the work. He loved the process. And then that was taken away from him. So I think he's just, more than anything, he's just thrilled to be back with a chance to play. But he's the same guy, you know. That's the beauty of Klay. It's like, you know, he doesn't change. He just keeps things simple, loves the game, and now that he's able to play again, he's in a good place.
Ray and I were discussing, Steve, the man's mystique and his almost universal appeal. Like every single team, especially dominant and great teams, like the ones you've had and are enjoying at the early stages of this year, normally have an element where, you know, just doesn't matter what, you know, you hate that guy too. It doesn't feel like anybody, even people who hate the Warriors, hate Klay Thompson. Like there is an appeal to him that goes far beyond just a basketball player.
Yeah, for sure. I think everybody who likes the game likes Klay, you know, they just like watching him play. And, he's just no nonsense. Sorry about my dogs barking away in the background.
It's okay.
But no, I just think people connect with him because of how much he enjoys playing. And his effort, the fact that he's a two-way guy, he competes so hard at both ends. It's just really impressive to watch him.
Steve, I want to talk to you about the dogs you got barking on the court. And man, you got them barking all of a sudden. Draymond feels like a man reborn. He is copped to as much, saying that he's got more motivation now, coming from the situation the team is in, coming from the age of his own children, as he comes into their focus as the player that he's going to be, that they're watching in an age where they'll remember who daddy was when he was out there playing. And I just thought, it's so unique that, I mean, it's either the environment that you've created, Lacob has created, the Warriors have created, or just some real individuals on your team that are very comfortable opening up about their true motivations. Athletes normally safeguard these things. You have a few that do not.
Yes, we do. We do have a few who do not. We encourage that. I mean, I think a big part of this business is you want your fans to connect with your players. You know, you want them to fall in love with the players. And we've got a great product to sell, not just the team itself, but the individuals, the players. They're great stories. They're wonderful people. So, you know, we really believe in our players being out there as much as possible. And it's maybe a little different philosophy from some organizations, but, this is how we feel most comfortable doing it. There's a human connection that has to occur between the fans and the players, and for it to really, you know, catch fire. And I think that's what's happened.
Can I ask a mundane question about defense?
Sure.
How different is this defense from the one that was at the height of its powers, maybe in 2015? In what structural ways is this a sort of revamping of what you did before, and how much of it is taking other ideas and adapting them to what you already had?
The biggest difference is those teams were among the league leaders in block shots. We had, guys like Bogut and, you know, Festus Ezeli and, you know, Kevin Durant. We had a lot of shot blockers, and this team does not have a ton of shot blocking, but I think we're right near the top of the league in steals. So we have a little more, you know, lateral quickness and, you know, players like Gary Payton, you know, who've come in and really kind of changed some things about our perimeter defense. But the schemes are basically the same. And I think, you know, Looney, despite not being a shot blocker, has become an excellent paint protector. And so the schemes are about the same, but the personnel is just different.
This is the first time we've had the chance to talk to you, Steve, since you've come back from the East Coast road trip. And a lot of things happened, obviously. I'm probably the most fascinated by the game that people watched the least of, because so few of your stars actually went out and hit the court. That game in Detroit should almost count for two wins for you, because that's a scenario in which you do not win last year. And with all due respect to the Pistons, who are a young team trying to figure out their way in the NBA, I thought that was an awesome win for you guys, and it showed an awful lot of the DNA that you have put into guys who are not the stars of your team but play huge roles.
Well, it was a great win for us. We had guys banged up the end of a trip. You know, to be able to win a game like that, it gives the younger players a boost of confidence. It gives everybody a feel of, hey, we're a deep team, and we're all going to be needed. And it was just a really good night for a lot of guys, particularly for Juan Toscano-Anderson. You know, he had been out of the rotation for a few games, and then he came back in that fourth quarter of the Cleveland game and played great the night before, and then started and played well against Detroit. So it's good to get him back in the fold. And I thought Jordan Poole's performance was huge and necessary, you know, given that he had struggled for a couple games on the trip. So those games are always fun. You know, when you're a winning team and you're in a pretty good place record-wise, occasionally you get those games where, you know, you can play the young guys. It's a little bit of a free swing. And if you win, it's just a huge trampoline boost.
Is there a generally agreed upon etiquette that when a team fires its coach during the season, that it's considered impolitic to try to hire somebody off somebody else's staff until the season is over. And while I know Sacramento was the last one to do it, there are probably going to be others this year. And when that happens, do you worry at all about getting the phone call that, hey, we're interested in Kenny Atkinson or we're interested in Mike Brown, just to name the two guys with NBA coaching experience?
Number one, I can only think of one instance, which was last year when Chris Finch was hired by Minnesota. It's not a common occurrence, and it's nothing I've given a second thought to, this year. And my feeling is always if guys on our staff have an opportunity to become a head coach or, to elevate, from a, behind the bench to a front of the bench role. I'm excited for them. I mean, guys should, that's exactly what they should be thinking is, improving their careers and moving up the ladder. So if it happens, then that's a good thing, but generally it doesn't happen during the regular season. It's extremely rare.
We were talking with Anthony Slater about a column he wrote about the defense and the things that have changed, the accountability of the players on your team, the accountability that Draymond puts on himself, the accountability of the coaching staff, and you were brought up as Steve 2.0. Do you feel rebooted as a coach?
I don't feel rebooted. I just think that we knew last offseason that we needed an energy shift in within our coaching staff. And I've always had such wonderful coaches here. I've been blessed with so many great guys, and it's been such a fun 7.5 years. But I think a big part of this is recognizing when you need a shift, and we needed a shift, frankly. So getting that shift to happen has been a big part of our success, and it doesn't really have anything to do with who left. I mean, we had great coaches here who helped us win championships. It's just you have to sense when you need a shift, and I think the shift that our organization had this past summer was a needed one, and it's definitely helped me. The coaching staff that we have in place right now has been fantastic, and we're off to a really good start.
You, Steph, Draymond, everyone talked about how Andrew Wiggins, almost became a different person the night that you guys beat Minnesota earlier this year, and that you were going to try to tap into whatever that was over and over. He just had a spectacular game against Toronto. He's been playing great basketball since that moment. Is there something you've done to tap into Wiggins differently? Do you text him? Does Steph text him? The picture of him yamming it on Carl Anthony Towns like he said he would.
I don't know. Maybe Steph does. But this is just all about Wiggs. And I think two things happened. I think number one, he got past the knee injury that was bothering him during training camp. So his conditioning, his endurance, his explosion came back, which we knew it would. But then secondly, I think we collectively sort of figured out, our team over the first couple of weeks, and Wiggs was very patient. He knew we needed him to defend, but I think offensively we didn't do a great job getting him involved the first couple of weeks. And then I said, I think, over the last couple of weeks, it's all come together, and he's found a really good niche within the offense. He understands what we're looking for, and I think he's simplified things. He's looking to catch and shoot and attack, and he's playing exactly how we hoped he would, so it's exciting.
I want to get back to the shift you were talking about earlier. Was that something that happened gradually, or did you see something one day and said, you know what? We're in kind of a cul-de-sac, and we got to get out of it.
For me, I think I started feeling something kind of the last year we went to the finals. It was such a grind, 5 straight years. It was a real haul. It was so much fun, but it was also exhausting. And that next year with all the injuries, we were really wiped out. it felt like, all right, we're going to need to do something here. And I think, you know, the thought was, all right, it's got to be personnel based. And yes, that was part of it. I mean, we lost everybody to either retirement or free agency or injuries, and we were wiped out. But the following year, you know, last year really confirmed it for me that it's like, all right, we got to do some things differently. We got to evolve a little bit. We need some new energy, new blood, new ideas, and that I think the whole organization felt that. It wasn't just our coaching staff, but you know, talking to Bob, talking to Kirk, talking to the people in the front office, we all felt it, and so we made some changes, and we're in a good place.
Sixers in town. You take them on Wednesday. Can you give us a little bit of a thumbnail sketch how you prepare for a team that you don't even necessarily know who to prepare for? I know that Embiid did not play in Sacramento Monday. Seth Curry also missed that game. I certainly hope he can go. Curry versus Curry sounds like a good way to sell a basketball ticket to me.
Yeah, I hope Seth plays. That would be a great storyline. Yeah, Sixers have just been wiped out with injuries and COVID stuff. So I think their Doc's doing a great job. They're just kind of keeping their heads above water now, and we know how good they are when they're fully loaded. So we don't know who's going to be there tomorrow, but it doesn't change a whole lot in terms of our preparation. We're always more concerned with ourselves than our opponent, but we'll go through a walkthrough before the game, and we'll adapt, you know, according to who's out there.
You know, you've quoted the great line from Coach Rivers saying, you know, Doc is just a nickname. I'm not an actual doctor. Would the Sixers be off to a better start if he were an actual doctor?
Yeah, good point. Possibly. Oh, man, they've been hit about as hard as anybody. But that's why it's a long year. You know, we're on the flip side of that. Everything's gone our way so far. But, long, long season. You just got to be ready for whatever comes your way.
We've saved the best to last, Steve. Klay Thompson mentioned championship or bust. Is that the way you guys are already talking about this season in the locker room?
No. But, you know, the players are different from coaches. You know, I think coaches, front office, we just talk and think about process and want to make sure we're doing everything possible each day to get better, and we're all well aware that we're completely, you know, at the whim of the basketball gods and circumstances and health and all that stuff. So we're in a good place. We've worked hard to get here, and hopefully both Clay and James will be back in the mix soon, and then we'll just keep going. But got to just enjoy the ride and see what happens.
Hey, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'm glad that you guys are all home. I hope that means a lot to your team. Continued success. This is a phenomenal start, and we're enjoying every minute of it.
I'm glad. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Steve Kerr with Ray and I yesterday. You're listening to Warriors Live, presented by the Xfinity Sports Zone, the ultimate sports hub experience. And Ray, shame on me. When we did our Steph Curry 3-point update, I forgot to let everyone know, with the holidays around the corner, if you're looking to give an interesting gift, the gift of Masterclass online classes from the world's best. Right now, you can give one annual membership and you actually get one for free yourself. You can find it at masterclass.com/the game. Of course, terms apply.
Terms always apply. That's damn the lousy thing about terms.
At terms. They insist upon them. Can I cheer you up? We're going to have Nick Friedell join us in just a little bit. He comes up at 6 o'clock. And we are going to hop into the details of a very interesting week for the Warriors, a week at home, a week where Klay Thompson has returned to practice, a week where James Wiseman has not, and a week where they've already won one of their three home games of the week. Tonight they have to beat Kate Scott. So we'll see if they can do that. Ray, would you like to hear about the greatest gambling parlay win in history? Because, of course, we will let everyone know what the Warriors-Sixers line is a little bit later on in the show. But there was a guy who actually hit a $50 multi-sport, multi-day, 15-team parlay and ended up winning $1.1 million. The Ravens beating the Bears on Sunday, 16-13, with 25 seconds left, was the 15th leg of a 15 parlay, which only featured three underdogs, and what they're calling the mother of all parlays included three hockey games, eight college games, two NFL games, an NBA game, and a golfer. Ray, $50 into 1.133, $530.50, $1.1 million and change, $50, 15-leg parlay. That's all you got to do. You can become a millionaire overnight. How many 15-leg parlays have you hit?
Nine. The thing I hate about parlays is when you do something like that, you are not getting the right price. If you can hit those 15 events in one fell swoop, $50 into 1.1 million seems like you're not getting rewarded enough for the degree of difficulty in hitting all those games.
That should be 50 into 10 million.
Or 50 I think so.
Into like $1 billion or something. Yeah,
you know, just make the reward worth the degree of difficulty. Because, you know, I don't know, 1.1 million, as much money as that is, still seems like, you know what, you do that. I mean, how many guys have done that? Like none?
Yeah, that's the one 15 legger I've ever heard actually reported on.
So if you've done something nobody's ever done before, Vegas has to come up bigger than that.
Pay the man, indeed. This is Warriors Live. Damon and Ratto, we're coming back with Nick Friedell here on 95.7 The Game.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Warriors Live, presented by Xfinity on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to Warriors Live. Damon and Ray Ratto with you here on 95.7 The Game. Nick Friedell from ESPN about to join us. The Warriors have been resting all at home since Sunday when they got a combined 65 points from Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins to pick up an off night from Steph Curry. An off night from Curry usually means he greets you with a heater the next time you see him, and this is the next time we're going to see him. He's also going to have the motivation of taking on his own brother out on the court tonight, so things get interesting, to say the least, with the Sixers in town. Our pal Nick Friedell here to get you ready for everything happening at Chase Center tonight. Nick, how are you?
Damon, it is great to hear you guys, and I'm doing great. I just cannot believe that we're at Thanksgiving and the Warriors are on the verge of being 16-2 against an undermanned Sixers team. It is pretty cool to be around this team again and see the excitement night to night, because when these other teams come in, I was just talking to a couple of people from Philly staff, they know they're playing the Warriors, and they know they're seeing Steph and Draymond, and they're seeing Steph and Draymond playing at such a high level, and then, oh, by the way, here comes Klay in a few weeks. So it's a fun time to be around this team.
Yeah, and that's unquestionably been the biggest news of the week here in the Bay Area, that Klay Thompson is getting closer and closer. And the rumor that came out a couple weeks ago, like you might see him around Christmas, and everyone was like, ah, let's just hope he's here around Valentine's Day. Well, it looks like the rumor that got out is closer to the truth. It looks like things are going really well. Klay Thompson sounded recharged, incredibly enthusiastic about returning. And when Klay gets excited, that locker room gets excited. All Warriors fans get excited.
No question. The emotions that he has provided being back around the group, even in the last couple months, but certainly in the last week, Damon, it's gigantic. It is a huge, huge lift for the entire organization, because they know what Klay has poured in to get to this point, and they know that if he is anywhere close to where he was, that he gives them a huge presence on both ends of the floor. So it couldn't have been scripted any better as far as a start goes. And I think what we've seen is Klay coming back and being close to potentially the Klay we all know, that's given the Warriors a lift behind the scenes. And then this group starting the way that it has given him a boost in his own rehab. So it cuts both ways, but they all know what he means to the culture and framework of this city and this area. And they are so ecstatic to get him back out on the floor and help get him ready for not only the next few months, but get him prepared for whatever comes in the postseason.
Steve Kerr referred earlier this week to how things have gone really well for them. Not just that they're 15-2, but that they've been relatively injury-free. Their schedule's been benign. Everything that they've wanted out of this first fifth of the season has happened. Is this a little bit like 2015, where a lot of things also went well for them, injury-wise, schedule-wise, start-wise? Does this feel like that?
It does. It does, Ray. And when you start hearing Steph say that, he said it the other night on that road trip. We were all sitting there, and he says when things start to line up the way they are, it feels 2015-ish. And anybody who had been around that team can tell you that a lot of different things had to fall their way, and I think that's what we're seeing this season, because we're only still a month into this thing. And Draymond mentioned this the other night, and I thought it was important to at least note the schedule is what it is. They have played an easy schedule. Now, they are just dominating the hell out of most of these teams, but there are not a lot of games that you can point to and go, okay, that one will hold up well over the course of the season. I mean, the one that made everybody kind of turn narrative-wise was that game in Brooklyn where they just crushed KD and the Nets. But to your point, it does feel like everything is starting to line up. And if you get Klay back in the next few weeks and you get James Wiseman back at some point in the same time frame and they can help you, then, oh boy, then you can start to dream a little bit more, because this team is starting to believe what is surrounding them. And that is a lot of hype, and the aura of being one of the top teams in the league is back. And when you're playing at that kind of high level, and you're seeing it night after night after night, that's when you can start to dream those bigger dreams and believe that a title is within your reach.
Nick Friedell joining us here on Warriors Live, presented by the Xfinity Sports Zone, the ultimate sports hub experience. When we sit down to write the recap of this year, no one is going to do a chapter on a win in Detroit over a bad Pistons team. But I feel that was a significant game, Nick, because all of the stars sat. There was no Steph. There was no Draymond. No Iguodala. No Otto Porter Jr. It was a game scheduled to lose, and the Warriors won it anyways. And I just think that we're looking at a team that, again, you get an off night from Steph against Toronto. All of a sudden, you got Wiggins and Poole picking everything up, and that's the difference. Sure, they're the same really good shooting, rebounding, defensive team, but they can win without Steph pulling the trigger now. And that, to me, is just, that's the difference between could it be good or could it be great.
Damon, you're exactly right. And I couldn't agree with you anymore, because we all sat and watched those games last year when Steph was hurt or when Steph didn't have it going. There were one or two games in that season. I think one of them actually was against Toronto here at Chase. But there were one or two games where they could pull it out. Otherwise, it was over. And it wasn't even close. He came off the floor, gone. This team is deeper. They're better. They believe in each other more. It's so obvious in watching them play how much fun the group is having together. And to the point about that Detroit game, I thought it was huge, too. Because you can say, all right, well, they were just kind of giving the vets a night off, and it wasn't that big of a deal. No. When you're getting Jordan Poole playing the way that he can offensively, and he can take that on his shoulders and get you 30 when you need it, that is a huge, huge improvement from where he was a couple years ago, and a very good sign of what you may need off the bench in the next 6 months or so of this season. So there are a lot of positive signs, but to me, the fact that the bench continues to play the way it has, the fact that the Warriors aren't falling apart when Steph is either off the floor or just having an off night, that's huge. And then it starts with Draymond. I mean, all of what's happening with this group and this start, 15-2, it's all about Draymond. He has been awesome defensively. He has been motivated. And I thought he laid it out pretty well the other night, guys. He said, I've been playing pretty bad the last couple of years, and I think he's just sick of it. And I think he saw the potential early in this group. And I'm not saying that he thinks they're going to go run and win a title now, but he knows how important he is to set that tone, and he's been setting it every single night.
This blew me away. Draymond's got 10 or more assists 93 times in his career. 93 times 10 or more. Wow. The Warriors are 80-13 when he does it. That's an .860 winning percentage. And in team sports, it's like it's rare for an individual player statistic to be like such an indicator of did you win, did you lose? But here it is. This is a 9-plus season sample size out of Draymond. He goes north of 10 assists. You can put the Warriors in the win column.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because that means that everything's clicking the way it's supposed to. And everybody gets so focused, understandably so, Damon, on the defensive end with him. But anybody who's watched this team, and there are so many diehards who have watched the Warriors night in and night out for so many years, when Draymond has the offense rolling the way that he does, that's when this group really can take off into some next level. Because defensively, they were pretty solid last year, maybe surprisingly so, but they were pretty good. They followed that up this year the same way, but the offense that was so hit or miss, especially dependent on what Steph did, that's what has really righted itself this season, at least early, and Draymond is a huge part of that as well. So when he gets everybody rolling, this team is at a completely different point. And when you plug in Clay to that around guys who know him exceptionally well and are going to do everything they possibly can to make him feel comfortable, again, that's when special seasons can happen.
Can you think nostalgic thoughts of the days when Ben Simmons to the Warriors was a real rumor that people took seriously? And how much better or worse would this team have been if they had done that?
I thought that it would actually work, Ray, depending on if you didn't have to give up too much. But now, really nobody's talking about that. I mean, those days are gone, and understandably so. And so it's easy to sit here now and go, okay, they're 15-2, and they're just crushing people every night. That deal wouldn't have worked. But I don't think you can say that yet. When you can say that for sure is when you get close to the playoffs and when you get into the playoffs. And that's really the only question I have left with this group isn't whether or not Steph can be what we've seen, because he's awesome and he's well on his way to winning his third MVP. Can Draymond maintain the level he's at? Well, we're going to find out. We're still only in November. And then you got Klay, and that is one of the NBA's biggest question marks and has been for the last couple of years. And Doc Rivers just said it a couple minutes ago, guys. He goes, I don't know what to expect. Nobody does when Klay returns. So with all that in mind and as the context, I just don't know how much Simmons would have improved what already looks to be so good. Where the Warriors look deficient is down low and having big men who can go against the towers, the big bodies that, you know, a team like the Lakers has, or the Bucks, or, you know, the Nets with a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge who's found the fountain of youth there in Brooklyn. But when you're watching this team right now, you're not looking at them saying, oh, well, you know, all that's missing is Ben Simmons, because Ben Simmons has got a confidence problem shooting the ball. And the last thing that this team wants or needs right now is a player that has that kind of issue for the type of game that they're playing. So it's an interesting conversation and will be the next few months, depending on whatever happens with him. But there, I don't think there's anybody internally that's going, you know, we really need Ben Simmons to put us over the top.
But look, here's the thing. It's easy to talk about what he isn't, because there's a lot of things he isn't right now. Mostly is present in the Sixers lineup. But he is 16-8-8 through 275 career games. He's 25 years old. He's a three-time All-Star. 6'11 point guards don't just fall off trees. You know, I mean, this guy has value in this league, but what the Sixers can get for him now is so muddled. Where this goes, nobody knows. Nick Friedell was supposed to be, because my wife and I take in all the stray dogs in the media for Thanksgiving, usually, here in the Bay Area. But we all got sick. We got a virus in the house. The kids, little Petri dishes, God bless them. And we had to cancel dinner for 10 tomorrow. Nick, you were supposed to be one of those 10. Please tell me that you're not going to be sitting in your apartment eating a bologna sandwich on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a fresh box of Apple Jack Frosted Flakes that just grew, so that'll be good. But no, actually, my buddy lives out in Walnut Creek now, and he has come through, and this is what he does every Thanksgiving, Damon. He goes to Honey Baked Ham and he buys every single thing they have. So they have ham, they have turkey, they've got about 9 different side dishes. And he brings the bag in, and he just opens up and says, okay, what do you want?
Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving in a bag. Hey,
Thanksgiving in a bag. That's where I'm headed now. But I hope everybody's starting to feel better, and I'm going to miss it for sure.
You grossly underrate the idea of Apple Jacks over some Bullet brandy.
Some Bullet brandy. Now, that is someone who's lived a hard lifestyle right there. Damn.
Well, I've seen you, and if you haven't lived a hard lifestyle, your face is really lying to me.
And happy Thanksgiving, Nick Friedell. Now, look, I'm really glad that you got a plan B, man. Go enjoy yourself, and don't sleep on honey baked ham. Those things are delicious. So,
they're pretty solid, but I got to try this Apple Jackson bourbon for my man Ray. I mean, that's some next level stuff. I'll have to report back, see how it goes.
Next level indeed. Nick, thank you so very much, man. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
All right, you got it, guys. See you later.
Apple Jackson bourbon. Ray.
You want sugar? You want it delivered right? You do that.
Look at it this way. Forget about throwing a turkey at me from a moving car tomorrow. Throw the bottle of bourbon. Keep the Apple Jacks.
No, they come as a package. It's dinner and breakfast in one handy box.
You know, it also comes as a package here on 95.7 The Game. Damon Bruce and Ray Ratto. You're listening to both of us here on Warriors Live, presented by the Xfinity Sports Zone, the ultimate sports hub experience. I think we need to tell you right now what's on tap.
It's time to find out what's on tap.
Tap Plastics.
Presented by Tap Plastics.
Look, we thought we might not get it, but what's on tap tonight? Brother versus brother. We got a healthy enough to play Seth Curry meeting Steph Curry. It's a family reunion right before Thanksgiving. So that's what we got tonight. That's what's on tap, presented by Tap Plastics, the ultimate destination for do-it-yourself enthusiasts. So, Ray, I was looking at all this, and the Warriors in their last 10 games really are on a heater, a first-degree heater. They are 9-1, indication of heater. They've won 4 in a row. It's a little bit of a heater. They're averaging, in this 10-game stretch, 116.2 points per game. Now, the Warriors lead the NBA overall for the entire season at 114 points per game. So in their last 10 games, the Warriors have been even better than the Golden State Warriors, scoring the basketball. 46 rebounds, that's near the top of the NBA. The Sixers are 29th in rebounding. 29.3 assists, guess what? That's number one in the NBA. 10.1 steals would be good enough to put them number one in the NBA, just over this 10-game sample size. 4.8 blocks per game is the only category that the Sixers are superior, 5.8 average on the season. But the Warriors are shooting 48.7% in their last 10 games, and that is better than the Suns' NBA best season average of 47%. So the Warriors have been better than the Warriors, they've been better than the Suns, they've been better than everyone over their last 10 games, even better than themselves, if such a thing could be possible. And oh, by the way, in their last 10 games, opponents have averaged 100.8 points per game. That's basketball.
And it speaks not only to how well they've played, but it also speaks to how well fortune has taken care of them so far, because of those last 10 games, only three were against teams with a winning record. And even though Philly's got a winning record tonight, one of the reasons why their rebounding numbers are so low is because they're doing a lot of this without Joel Embiid. And when you take him out of your lineup, and you also have Ben Simmons having a gap year, and all the other injuries they've had, this is almost like playing another team with a losing record. So the Warriors, you know, have maintained their focus through what has been, by all accounts, a pretty easy schedule. And I would not be surprised if they did it again tonight, even though Philly is a livelier team than most of the others they've played. It's just they're not Philly right now. And that leaves a huge hole for the Warriors to walk through.
Right. I mean, obviously Ben Simmons isn't there, and we know why. Joel Embiid is out. We know why. Tobias Harris is still out with an injury. Seth Curry is playing tonight. Danny Green is playing tonight. Danny Green not going to be in the starting lineup. We'll give you the projected starting lineups here in just a minute. But, hey, it's the biggest bar night of the year, which means it's a great night to gamble, especially if you're like that college kid who comes home to meet and party with your other college friends who went off to other colleges. It's the biggest bar night of the year, Ray. It's one of the biggest hookup nights of the entire year. It's a good night to be young, singling, mingling. If you're going to the Warriors game tonight, have a great time. And if you're going to the Warriors game tonight, maybe you want to play around a little bit. And I don't mean with a partner. I mean with the line. Ray, Golden State, favored by 10.5 tonight over the Philadelphia 76ers. I know you are reluctant to back, well, any team from the Bay Area, really, in any conversation, even one in gambling where you just want to pick the winner. But you're such an anti-homer. You're actually an awayer. So is this where you're taking the Sixers in the 10.5?
No, I will take. If I had to play the game at all, I'd play the under, because neither the Warriors nor the Sixers go over the total very often. But I can't see how this Philadelphia team stays within 10. Of this Warrior team. It's just, the gap is, it's almost like, you know, it's almost like Detroit. And I mean, I realize that's overstretching it a bit, but This Philadelphia team with Tyrese Maxey and God knows what else shouldn't stay within 15 of the Warriors.
I'm laying it too. Under. Yeah, I'm laying it too. The over-under is 217. I see it the other way. I love them to cover. I don't like the over-under because I don't know if somebody's going to show up hitting some threes tonight. And that could even be Seth Curry, not just Steph Curry. Again, brother versus brother crime is going to be happening tonight. Like I said, biggest bar night of the year. People are going to be getting loose. Chase Center should be rocking tonight. Nobody's got to go to work tomorrow. Nobody. So if you're going out, have a great time. Have a great time out.
And Jingle. Take a lift.
Absolutely take a lift. Your projected starting lineups tonight. Steph Curry, Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins, Draymond Green, Kevon Looney, all the usual suspects for the Warriors. Meanwhile, for the Sixers, Tyrese Maxey, Seth Curry, Matisse Thybulle, Furkan Korkmaz, one of the best names out there, and Andre Drummond, your starting center tonight. That is all the time we have. Ray, happy Thanksgiving, beautiful.
No, all right, fine.
This is where you traditionally wish me and my family.
You're going to have one. Too. Of course you are. You're going to gather around the hearth, all of you sick as dogs, and you're going to have the Thanksgiving that, frankly, America deserves.
Thank you so much. We got Warriors Network pregame coming up next. This has been Warriors Live for Ray. I'm Damon. Thanks to Nick Friedell for joining us. Sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.
This has been Warriors Live on 95.7 The Game. Presented by Xfinity Sports Zone, the ultimate sports hub experience.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.